Dallas Snyder.
Good evening.
Good evening.
As usual, I have good news for you. In fact, I have great news for you this evening. And the news that is good this evening is, this thing that we call God is not human at all. This thing that we call God is not anthropomorphic at all. This thing that we call God does not have feelings. This thing that we call God is above and beyond all these things. The reason why I'm using this tonight is because on Monday night, a student told me, after I was talking about different things, that there is a minister in Texas that's on television, apparently, and he's always telling his congregation how much God feels and is very sad when they do things wrong, and God is upset with them, and this, that, and the other thing. Well, I'm here to tell you that that's all twaddle. That is not what God does, and that's not what God is at all. Many times you've heard me say, if you're not getting what you want from life, it's because your God is too small. And your God is too small when you give God human qualities. God does not have human qualities. Humans have God qualities. If God had human qualities, then God would get upset. And God would be upset with us all the time for all the things that go wrong. But that is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a power. We're talking about an energy. We're talking about an intelligence. We're talking about something that is beyond thoughts and words, something that we have to know, and you have to experience this. But we've been taught all through our lives that God has human qualities, that God is some old man somewhere in the sky and gets mean and jealous and shows favorites and all. This thing that we're talking about does not show favorites at all. Does not show favorites at all. And we get that idea because we read that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, to the world. We are all begotten children of God. We're all begotten sons and daughters of this thing that we call God. This thing that is the creation, the creator. The creator and the creation are one and the same thing. So we have God-like qualities. But God does not have human qualities. We picked up these human qualities of jealousy and hatred and all here on this plane of action because we like to use this tiny finite mind of ours, and we like to use that part of our mind that we call the ego, and it constantly wants to cause separation, and it constantly wants to cause trouble somewhere, and we blame this on this thing that we call God. We can no longer blame God for anything. God doesn't cause all this uproar in the world. We're causing it. We're causing it with our small thoughts. We're causing it with our small thoughts. So if you're not getting what you want from life, look and see what type of a God you have in your mind. Do you have a God that has human qualities, a God that can get mad, a God that can get angry? The God I'm talking about is a God of love. And God loves everything because God created everything. And God is in everything. That's what God does. God creates and God loves. God doesn't show favorites. God doesn't get jealous. God doesn't get angry. We do those things, but God doesn't. And that's why we can get out of these situations that we're in. because we can use this finite mind of ours and go up to the infinite mind, to the God consciousness within us, to the Christ consciousness within us, and we can see a different way to do things. And that's what we're here to do. That's what we're here to learn. But don't ever think that God has any human qualities whatsoever. And this thing, when I talk about God as a thing, God is a thing. Because we cannot describe God. Once you to start to describe God, you're making God finite. And God is infinite. We know bits and pieces. And I know bits and pieces. And you know bits and pieces. But we do not know the whole thing. And we will never know the whole picture of God. Remember, it says, no one will ever see the face of God. We don't see the face of God. God doesn't have a face. If God has a face, it's my face. If God has a face, it's your face. It's our faces are the faces of God. But when you're not getting what you want in life, it's usually going to boil down to that your God is too small and that you have put human qualities on that God. And you cannot let it make your mind think that here is something that's beyond all this. And God is always going to be on any beyond thoughts and words. It's bigger. I cannot describe God. I can feel God sometimes. And I can experience God. But to describe that, everyone has to do that for themselves. Everyone has to figure that out for themselves. But it's an energy, it's a power, it's an intelligence. It's love itself coursing through everything. God is manifest in everything. The love of God is what we are. We're God's love made manifest, living on this plane of action. That's what we are. So if you want more in your life, get a bigger idea and a bigger concept of God. That's all we're ever trying to do with ourselves also, is get a better idea of ourselves and a better concept of ourselves, who we are, and don't put ourselves into these boxes and don't label ourselves and don't allow other people to label you at all or to give their negativity to you. Resist that. Don't take it upon yourself. I had a friend the other night come into my house. In fact, it was last night. And I had just done the nettle pot. And he said, oh, coming down with a cold. I said, I'm not coming down with a cold. I don't get colds. Please don't lay that on me. I'm not coming down with anything. People want to do that to you. They want to tell you what you're coming down with. Don't allow that to happen to you either. So just remember, God is beyond thoughts and words. You cannot totally describe it. And you have to realize that. That's why all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. We think, oh, something's not possible because we can't think. We can't think big enough. But we can turn that over to God. And I often say, I don't know how to do this, but I know you do, God, so you do it. I know that you can do this for me. And I release that and let God do it. But I never see God with human qualities whatsoever. You know, we call God the Father. And so many of us think, oh, I remember my father. And I either remember how nice he was, or I remember how awful he was. But we remember all these qualities of a father. Your heavenly father does not have the qualities that your earthly father had. Does not have those. So if your father got angry, if your father held back things, you think, oh, well, God's going to do the same. God never holds back anything. God never holds back anything. God wants you to have everything. God loved you so much. You are the beloved in whom he is well pleased. And this power, this energy, wants you to have everything that you desire. But we don't get what we want sometimes because we place a limit on it. We're the ones who stop the flow by not thinking big enough, by not allowing God to work in as and through us. And that's the only thing that's happening with us. See, each of us sit here and we think that we're separated from each other. And each one of us think, oh, I'm a human being and I'm blah, 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 whatever you're thinking. But it's God that's doing it all. God is always in, as, and through you. God is the one that's causing this hand to move at the present moment. God is the one that's causing me to speak at the present moment. I do nothing. It's always the Father within that doeth the work. It's always this power, cosmic power. Call it anything you want. God doesn't care. I can make this big statement. God doesn't know that you're calling it God. God doesn't know that. So you can call it Harry, Henry, Charles, or whatever. It won't bother God, and it won't upset God. We use that term God because we want to raise something up. We want to make something bigger than we are. And this thing that we call God is bigger than any of us. It's bigger than any of us. But we are part of that. We are part of that. Just like a drop of water makes up the ocean, we are drops of water making up God. God would be incomplete without each and every one of us. That's why we make the big statement, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. I am not all that God is. Because God is everything, and God is everywhere, and God is all-knowing. So, remember those things. And when you want something to manifest in your life, know that that is absolutely possible. As soon as you remove the limitations from your mind, because there are no limitations in the mind of God. There are no limitations in the mind of God. But as soon as we get an idea, our mind immediately throws up 5 reasons why it cannot be done. It immediately throws up 5 reasons why it cannot be done. And if you turn to God, those reasons evaporate. They go away. Because all things are possible with God. So think of those things and know that God is beyond anything that you can think of. And God is certainly beyond words. Words just structure thought. That's all words do. And it's very hard to describe something that's indescribable. So God is indescribable. And God is invisible. And God is da 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 da. But we can go on and on. And we will never be able to describe God. Because as soon as you start to describe God, you bring God down to your level. You try to bring the infinite down to the finite. And you have to take the finite up to the infinite. So remember that when you're treating, when you're doing your treatment work, you're taking up, you're raising your consciousness up. You're not trying to bring God's consciousness down. You're trying to bring your consciousness up to God. Okay? All right. With that done, we'll go into Race Mind Alert. And the race mind alert tonight is, and you hear this all the time, God will get you. God will get you for that. And we laugh and we think that's funny. But that runs throughout race mind. And as I just said, God is not out to get you. God is out to give you. God is out to give you. To give you what you want. To give you all the wonderful things. And to know that those things are in store for you. They're in store for you. You see, there's no sense to believe in a God that's cruel, that holds back, is out to get you. Now, that's just crazy making. You have to have an intelligent mind here. That is absolutely crazy making. And I know many people go to church to hear how God's going to get them. And not only that, then they put money in the plate. You know, this is absolutely ridiculous. And it's all lies, absolute lies. And they've been told over and over and over again till people start to believe that they're true. But the idea that God is out to get you, or that God will get you for that, don't believe that. Don't believe that at all. You're out to get yourself. And you get yourself by putting that out there. And there is the law of attraction. It comes right back to you. It comes right back to you. But you're doing it. God is not doing it. God is not doing that. The law of attraction works throughout the entire universe. And it works the same way for everybody. And God uses the law of attraction. Love points the way, but the law of attraction does the work. The law of attraction. So we were given that wonderful gift, that wonderful thing called the law of attraction. So we know perfectly well that when we're doing something, when we're putting out an energy, when we're allowing our words to go out to hurt somebody, they're going to come right back and get us. That's what the law of attraction is about. The law of attraction is learning that you are the one that's creating your reality. You're creating your own reality, and you're creating it with your thoughts, your attitudes, your beliefs, and you can change those things about yourself. You can change those things. That has nothing to do with God whatsoever. Because you have choice, and you can choose those things. We were given free will. We were given free will to choose. Course in Miracles, what does it say? Choose again. That's all the Course in Miracles says. If you're not doing something, if you're not getting what you want, then choose again. Choose to change your idea about yourself. When I say choose your idea, change your idea about yourself, I mean change the conclusions that you came to about yourself. We are always coming to some conclusion about ourselves. I can't do that because of this. That is a conclusion. Do not come to conclusions. You're able to do anything. Don't limit yourself. And don't come to those conclusions. And you don't come to those conclusions when what? You know that you're totally lovable, that you're worthy, you're deserving, and that you matter. And with that, let's do our matter.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
You have to know that you matter. You have to know that you're worthy, deserving, and totally lovable. These are the qualities that you change about yourself. These are the ideas that you make yours so that you have that firm foundation in your life. So that you cannot be shaken off that foundation. So the world, which is very convincing, can no longer convince you that you're not enough. That the world can no longer convince you that you're not enough. And that's what the world wants to do. It always wants to tell you that you're not enough, that you don't have enough, so that you're always out there trying to get more, trying to get more. Don't do that. You are enough, and you have enough. Remember that. And with that, you'll get more, by the way. As soon as you realize that, more things come into your life. Until you realize that, you're always struggling. And when anybody struggles, you're pushing things away from you. You're pushing things away from you. This thing that we call God doesn't struggle. Can anyone here picture God struggling? No. God does not struggle. And we don't have to struggle. But we have been taught by the world and by misinformed people that life is a struggle. And life is not a struggle. Life is a wonderful, wonderful experience and a wonderful opportunity to discover who you really are. That's the whole wonderful mystery of life, is to discover who you truly are and what you truly are, what they call your true self or your soul. And we all hear that all the time, that we have a soul. But does anyone communicate with it? Does anyone allow their soul to grow? Does anyone here complete their soul? We have to work on that. We have to do that. And we do that by knowing that we're totally lovable. That this thing that we call God created us out of love. And therefore we're totally made from love. So we have to be lovable. And we have to be worthy. We know that we're absolutely worthy. God wouldn't create something that wasn't worthy. How many times have we heard God does not create junk? God doesn't create junk. And we're deserving. We're deserving of everything. God wants us to manifest things. Every time we manifest something, every time we accomplish what we want, we have manifested God. We have manifested God. We're proving to ourselves that this thing called God actually exists and exists in, as, and through us. And we're able to use that power to manifest into our lives all the abundance, prosperity, and money that we want. And to know that you matter so much that this thing that we call God would be incomplete without you. That we're absolutely needed. We're absolutely wanted. And we absolutely matter. And we have to know those things. So if there's any of that old residual religion in you, get rid of it. Get rid of old-time religion. And everyone thinks that that's such a great thing, to have old-time religion, or to have the faith of your fathers. The faith of your fathers is not going to work anymore. It just is not going to work. You have to build a new faith, and a faith in yourself. A faith in yourself. Remember, the highest form of worship you can give God is to love yourself. Is to love yourself. So learn that. And your whole life will change. You'll absolutely love life. And wouldn't that be wonderful to every day to absolutely love life? It's a great gift. It's a great gift. It's this life I'm talking about. This life right here and right now. Great gift, okay? Let's do a treatment. And this is what I know, believe, and accept for myself. I am truly one with the only power in the universe, and that power is a power for good. And I use that power right here and right now, knowing that it does work in, as, and through me. And I use it to bring into my life all the abundance and prosperity and money, because I realize that I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. And I want these things because they make life better. They give me freedom. They give me freedom to do and to create. And I let that be so, and so it is. Tonight's topic is getting. Now, why did I come up with that? Well, I know many people think it's from Paul who said, in all your getting, get understanding. And yes, we need understanding. But I'm going to do this in a different way. I'm going to tell you that we get to do things on this plane of action. We get to do things. And if you get up every morning and you say, huh, look what I get to do today. I get to go to work. I get to make money. I get to sell that house. Oh, I get to have lunch with a friend. And look at it differently. That it's an opportunity. That it's an opportunity. That it's not a chore in any way. So many people, I hear them say, oh, I have to go to work again today. I have to go to work again today. Now, isn't that an awful attitude? It's an awful attitude. So many people hate their work. Most people, unless you're very wealthy, have to work. And I knew many wealthy people who continue to work. They work because they enjoy their work. Learn to enjoy your work. Say to yourself, I get to do this. I get to go to a movie. I get to eat today. Don't take these things for granted. We're alive, and we're living on this plane of action, and we're getting all these opportunities all the time to experience something and to learn to grow with that experience. To learn to grow with that experience. I had a young man today who said, but before he came from Minnesota. Before he came to Los Angeles, he never knew all the ethnic foods and so forth that were out there. And now he gets to taste all those foods. He gets to taste all those foods. And that's what life should be. Life should be the idea that you get to taste something new, that you get to do something. But we turn that all around and we make it work. And we begrudge doing things instead of saying, oh my goodness, I get to take a walk today. I get to do this, I get to do that. And look, each day, look at all the wonderful things you get to see. All the things you get to see. You know, when I go someplace, I always go one way and come back another way. Because I want to see something new and different in my life every day. I want to see what's going on. So many people get up, they take the same route to work, the same route back, they go to bed, they get up, and then there's the ones that you say to them, well, how's it going? And they say, same old, same old. Same old, same old. Horrible, horrible expression. Horrible expression. You see, we are given a wonderful opportunity here. A wonderful opportunity. But we take that opportunity and we turn it into a soap opera. And we turn it into a B-grade movie. And we say, look at all the sadness we have to put up with. Look at all this stuff that's going on. Instead of saying, I get to do something. get to do this. I get to understand this situation. I get to understand my emotions so that I can learn to control my emotions. Remember, Ernest Holmes said, you must learn to think the thoughts that you want to think and feel the feelings that you want to feel. Learn to think the thoughts that you want to think and feel the feelings that you want to feel instead of thinking that they're random and joining that thing that we call race mind out there. I was telling Reva the other day that in the mornings when I'm showering, I always thoughts, that's when thoughts start to come. And I go, don't show me that again. Just like on the computer, you know, you have that thing that says, don't show me that again. I go, don't show me that again. You know, and these are thoughts from 30 years ago when I was a child. Why didn't I get that toy I wanted? Now, what does that have to do with anything today? And why do I want my mind to keep throwing that same thought up to me when there are many, many more wonderful thoughts to think? Many, many wonderful thoughts to think. You see, we are not our mind. We are not our mind. Our mind is ours to use. Our mind is ours to use. So we don't allow it to do that to us. Send up those same thoughts. Why? When you can get to think better thoughts. When you can get to think higher thoughts. And always better thoughts and higher thoughts about yourself. About yourself. Oh, I know you'd like to think better thoughts about the world or your neighbor or so forth. My philosophy is charity begins at home. Begins with you. And it doesn't do one bit of good to want to help the neighbor if you can't help yourself. Doesn't do one bit of good. So always stay at home, I call it. Stay within your own consciousness. Change your own consciousness. Change your own mind. And learn to think the thoughts that you want to think and feel the feeling that you want to feel. Then you can go and help the neighbor. Then you can go and help the world. You see, we don't have to go outside of our own mind to help a neighbor or to help the world. We think we have to go over to some other country and rearrange that whole country. If we would sit at home and see that country and clear our own minds of it and arrange our own mind correctly, the whole world would start to change. The whole world would start to change. The world is only an out picture of what we're thinking all the time. And it's the collective consciousness. And it's that thing that we call the race mind that keeps everything going. The race mind that says, God is out to get you. Or God will get you for that. Don't let those thoughts in. Correct those thoughts. They're old thoughts. They're ancient thoughts. They're wrong thoughts. They're complete twaddle. And we keep perpetuating them. And certainly the world perpetuates them because the world wants to control you all the time and control your thinking. The whole world, regardless, is nothing but propaganda. It's nothing but propaganda. And you must notice that and then make those choices and decisions for yourself. How do I want to think? How do I want to feel in this situation? And then you have control of your thinking. And when you have control of your thinking, there isn't anything that you cannot do. Everything starts in the mind and proceeds outward from there. Everything. There is no causation on this planet. This planet is a planet of effects. Everything you see on this planet is an effect. It's not a cause. Thinking is the cause. Consciousness is the cause. And causes are always invisible. Causes are always invisible. They're beyond form. Anytime you see form, you see an effect. And on this plane of action, you see forms. And forms are effects. But we think that these effects are causing something. An effect causes nothing. Your thinking, your consciousness, causes everything. And when you can change your mind about yourself, the whole thing changes. The whole reality that you're living in changes. If you see yourself as rich, as wealthy, as accomplishing what you want, these things will come into your life. Now, when I use the word rich, I don't mean that everyone's going to be a billionaire. Not that that isn't possible. But you're going to be rich in consciousness. You're going to be rich in thinking, which is going to what? Attract back to you rich things. It's going to attract back to you what you want. It's going to do it each and every time. It's our thinking processes. It's our words. It's what we're saying to ourselves and everybody else all the time that's causing what's coming into your life. What's causing what's coming into your life. So, correct your thinking and correct your words. A couple weeks ago I said, and I've been practicing this, sometimes unsuccessful. And the whole idea of keeping your conversation in heaven. Keeping your conversation in heaven. Ernest Holmes said, there will come a day when conversation will be in heaven. Which means we'll talk about the positive things. We'll uplift people. We won't talk the negative. We won't see all that garbage out there. We will keep our consciousness in heaven. And we will encourage people instead of discouraging people. And we will lift people up. And we will say to people, yes, you can do it. And I will help you do it. And I will hold that image for you. And I know that you can do it. And if you get discouraged, call me. And I will talk you back to loving yourself. And loving your vision, loving what you want to do, instead of allowing that vision to fade. And we have to have a vision. We have to see ourselves accomplishing all these things and holding that vision and not letting it vanish or get tarnished. And the outside world wants to do that. The outside world is very convincing. And if you think your mind, when you have an idea, will throw up five reasons why you can't, go out and ask the world. And it will immediately tell you that cannot be done. That cannot be done. That you can't have this, you can't have that. I've heard from people that now there's this opposite or the backlash from the secret that psychiatrists and professionals are saying, no, you can't do that to people. You know, you build up their hopes, you'll do this, you'll do whatever they're doing. By the way, hope is a word that I detest because it gets you nowhere, hope. There's no power in the word hope. Hope is a loophole that the mind uses to make you feel better. In case you don't get what you want, you can say, well, I hoped that that would happen, but it didn't. Don't use the word hope. You don't say to somebody, I hope that that will happen for you. You say, I know that will happen for you. And you change hope to know. I don't hope you'll get well. I know you'll get well. I know you're well right now. And get rid of the word hope. It's a useless, useless word used by race mind. And it's a lovely, lovely little loophole to keep you spinning your wheels all the time. And people say, what? I hope God will do this for us. Now, is that ridiculous? God is always willing, able, and ready. Always willing, able, and ready. Is always right here, right now, manifesting through us and doing what we want. And you can say, doing our bidding for us. Doing our bidding for us. So think of those things and use this thing that we call God. How many times have I said, people know perfectly well that God is mighty. And that's all well and good. Won't get you far, but it's good. But you have to know that God is useful and that you can use God. And there's nothing wrong with using God. Does anyone know of anything else you can use?
Your imagination.
You can use your imagination, which is God also, but there's only God. There's only God. So when I say use God, it's the only thing you can use. There is nothing else in the entire universe but God. Nothing else. Only ever one. Only ever unity. Only God. And we are all some part of that. We are all some part of that. So in all you're getting, get not only understanding, but know that you get to do things. And you get to do wonderful things. You get to make money. You get to lose money. You get to eat. You get to go to movies. You get to do... My goodness, think of all the things that you get to do. All the things that you get to do. And make your life wonderful. Make yourself wonderful. Is everyone here still doing I'm wonderful, wonderful me every day? Yes. Do wonderful, wonderful me. And the other ones. And do I matter every day? Know that. Up one side and down the other, that you matter. And it will bring you through every situation. It will bring you through every situation. But you have to know that. You have to know that you matter. It's a wonderful thing. Learning that life is different than you ever thought it was. You see, we are taught by our families, by our parents, by society, what life is. But life is much more than any of those things that we think it is. Any of those things that we think it is. And society and culture are all well and good. But they change constantly. They change. They have their fads, they have their whims, and then it's gone. But this thing that we call God is always constant. God doesn't change. God doesn't change. God always remains the same. God is that rock that you're looking for. God is that stability that you're looking for. Whatever you're looking for in your life, you may think it's the money, the car, the house, the relationship. It's always going to boil down to you're looking for God. When you find God, what happens? All else is added onto you. Remember? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all else will be added unto you. Know God. Have a relationship with God. And then the rest of your life will fall into place. Because the money that you're looking for, the relationship you're looking for, the health you're looking for, the creativity that you're looking for, which are the four corners of your life, are side effects of knowing God. But people are always looking for the side effect. And they're always going for the side effect. And as soon as you know God, you'll get those side effects. So look for God first. Look for this thing that we call the kingdom. What is the kingdom? The kingdom of heaven is a consciousness. It means peace of mind. It means that you know that you are one with God, and that you are also a creator or a co-creator. We're all demigods. You can find that in the Bible, by the way. We're demigods. We have to be. We have to be that. Because we were created by this thing that we call God. And the creation and the creator are one and the same thing. So the qualities that we have in us are all the qualities of God. So look for those God qualities in you. Of peace, understanding, compassion. Instead of the human qualities of hate, anger, and jealousy. Those are human qualities. And they'll get you nowhere. They'll get you nowhere. And that's another race thing. Because you hear it all the time. You're only human. Only a human. Oh, it's a human failing. Oh, it's a human failing. You see? And we buy into that. But when you realize that God is all there is, and to find that inside of yourself, to find that presence inside of you, and have an ongoing relationship with that, an ongoing relationship with God. That is what we are here for. We are here to have an ongoing relationship with God. And how do we have that relationship? By learning to love ourselves. By learning to love ourselves. And knowing that we can do these things. Remember the master teacher Jesus said, you can do these things and better. You can do these things and better. And of course I think people just black that out of the Bible. Just black that out. I asked that. I was raised a Lutheran. I asked that once and they said, you'll understand that, Dallas, when you take catechism. I took catechism. I asked that and they said, you'll understand that later, Dallas. They couldn't explain it. They don't want to explain it. Because they want to make an exception. They want to say that God had only one son and that God shows favor. If God only had one son left, Jesus, acquire a Christ consciousness, and they say he's the only one that was able to do that. Now God's showing favorites. Now God's showing favorites. And God does not show favorites. Each and every one of us can obtain a Christ consciousness. We can obtain that Christ consciousness in this lifetime, on this plane of action. Why? Jules knows the answer to that. Why is that so, Jules?
Let me think about it for a second. asking?
Last week, same as last week. Because
okay.
All things are possible with God.
I sort of concentrated on the dog.
I know.
Because she's quiet.
That's just how God spelled backwards.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought the ladies were stealing the dog. No.
Our mind always wants us to forget that. Always wants us to forget that all things are possible with God. You have to tell yourself that one every day also. Mm-hmm. So you absolutely get that throughout your entire being. So as soon as somebody says something to you, you say, oh, all things are possible with God. That's why that can be done. Of course that can be done.
Here's the problem so far. I say so far, I'm going to limit it.
Okay.
Just trying to put it in past tense. That my mind has been intruding on my ability to feel that I have any influence whatsoever with God. Because if God is omnipotent, omniscient,
omnipresent.
But that God doesn't feel, then God is indifferent. And that if I'm the effect of God's will, then how do I affect, without my ego, my will to influence God's ability to affect change in my life?
That is a quandary, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But I'll try to get you out of that one. First of
Thank
all,
you.
Change the word.
Mm-hmm.
Don't use the word problem.
Right.
So,
the puzzle.
You have a situation here.
Mm-hmm.
You have an opportunity here for growth.
Excellent. Thank you.
But you don't have a problem. Now, you know perfectly well that God knows when a sparrow falls.
Mm-hmm.
God may not have feelings that we interpret. Here we're into language again. We think feeling means something mushy.
Mm-hmm.
Something we have to cry, we have to be sad, we have to be happy, we have to be this, we have to be that. Those are human feelings. God knows how many hairs there are on your head. This is the type of God that we're talking about. You absolutely matter to God. You matter to God. But you want God to cry for you. You want God to feel pity for you. And God's not going to do that. If God did that, the planets would start smashing into each other. God can't do that. This power that we talk about is impersonable. But we make it personable. I made God my God. I made God my friend. But I made it my way. You have to do that for yourself. And if you want to give God feelings, and that makes you, you can give God feelings. But God doesn't have feelings. But if it brings you closer, then use that to do it. Use that. But you matter just as much as anybody else. And God knows you more than you know yourself. But you have to move yourself out of the way.
So I want to get to the point where I'm feeling that I'm cause and not effect.
Oh, well, you're causing something?
Yeah.
And you don't know that?
Intellectually, I get it. I don't have the sense that I'm in control.
Oh. You're not in control. Give up that idea that you're in control. That's the thing. You see, now you want to control God. Now you want to control things. You don't control things. And you certainly don't control God. You control your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You can change your thinking. You can think better thoughts about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always going to be the Father within that doeth the work. And God knows how to do that. I don't sit here and try to take God's job away from him. You're trying to do that. You think that you're doing all that stuff. Give that idea up. But you're causing things with your thinking. And what you're causing with your thinking is what you just told me. You're causing, oh, I don't think God feels for me. I don't think that God is doing this for me. I don't think that God is doing that. That is done with your thinking. Change your thinking. I knew perfectly well that God is operating in as and through me. I knew right here and right now that God is helping me in every situation. I knew that God knows the answer to everything. I knew that God is absolutely with me at all times, that all things are possible with God, and that my life is unfolding in divine right order. And I allow that to happen. That's how you get it moving. That's how you get it moving. And then you will feel the presence. But not the way you think you're going to feel the presence, because you're thinking in human terms. But you'll have an experience, and you'll have a feeling which you will not understand, because we don't have words for it. We don't have words for it. And we're always trying, and what you're trying to do is you're trying to drag God down, you see, and give feelings. God is always lying in sweet repose. Can be no other way. You think God gets upset about all this stuff? God can't get upset. It's an impossibility for God to get upset.
Well, I'm wondering what you would, what it should look like to you. I mean, for you to feel like you've surrendered and that your life is going to go, what does that look like that you don't feel like he's feeling, or that God is not here with you or driving you, or
that
stop. Do you do your work every day? Do you say, wonderful, wonderful me? Do you say that you're lovable? Do you say all the different things that I give you to say till it absolutely is in every fiber of your being? You have to start with that. And then you're going to get a feeling. But it's not going to be a feeling like your boyfriend just kissed you. It's not going to be that feeling. But it's going to be a feeling. You are going to feel taken care of. You are going to feel taken care of. You're going to feel wanted and needed and appreciated, and that you matter. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.